It's the dictionary.
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 Hello, word nerds, and welcome to the dictionary. Whee! My name is Spencer, and this is episode F63. We got a lot of very sciencey words in this episode. And so I hope that you like science and chemistry and things like that. Okay, the first word in this episode is ferocity. F-E-R-O-C-I-T-Y. This is tagging on to what we had at the end of the previous episode, which was ferocious. So, ferocity is a noun from 1606. The quality or state of being ferocious. That is it for that one. It was a very short one. And now my sound effect today will be, whoa! Next, we have a suffix, F-E-R-O-U-S, ferrous, I think is how you would pronounce that. Ferrous. It means bearing or producing, as in the example, carboniferous. So that's the word carbon with an I and then the suffix ferrous, or in this carboniferous. So that means that something that is carboniferous either produces carbon or has carbon, bears carbon, owns carbon, deals in carbon. And there was like the carboniferous era or something, I don't know, when all the carbon got released into the atmosphere or something, I don't know. There was some old eon or age that was the carboniferous something. The etymology is not very helpful. It does mention the suffix F-E-R, which, got to go back to that one. What did that mean? To bear or carry, one that bears, the aquifer. And so, yes, this is just adding on to that definition. Ferrous, fair and ferrous. Save ferrous. Okay, now we got to go. Wow! The next word is, that's a sciencey one. It is ferredoxin. Ferredoxin. Ferredoxin, ferredoxin, here I am. I don't know, that's what my brain went to. It is spelled F-E-R-R-E-D-O-X-I-N. It's, yeah, like Frère Jacques. Ferredoxin, frere. But I also thought of it's the, where is index? Where's my finger? Here's my finger. Hello, finger. Okay. Ferredoxin is a noun from 1962. This is any of a group of iron and sulfur-containing proteins that functions as electron carriers in photosynthetic and nitrogen-fixing organisms and in some anaerobic bacteria. Ooh, well, I do know that the first part of this word, ferro, means iron. And is, what's the doxin from? It's from the English redox. They took the dox from redox and added an I-N. Yes, the Latin ferrum, that must mean iron or something. It's a whole group. The ferredoxins are this group of iron and sulfur. They're proteins that contain iron and sulfur. And what do they do? What do they do? They function, they carry electrons in certain types of organisms. What types of organisms? Photosynthetic organisms. I guess that's like plants that do photosynthesis. And also nitrogen-fixing organisms. And then also they do this, they carry the electrons in some anaerobic bacteria. And I know this morning I heard you all say, I want to know about ferredoxin, so now you get to learn it. And then I got to go, woo! Now, the next few words are not chemistry related, but they are very fun. Here we go with the first form of the word ferret. F-E-R-R-E-T. It is a noun from the 14th century. Number 1A, a domesticated, usually albino, brownish, or silver-gray animal that is descended from the European polecat. I kind of want to see a picture of a polecat. I assume it's long and slender, like a ferret. Let's see. Let's move this window over here and make it a little skinnier. And then let's type in with my keyboard, which is under. Good thing all the letters F-E-R-R-E-T are right next to each other. Ferret. No, I got to look up polecat. Keyboard is under my music stand. Oh, boy. Well, it looks just like a ferret. These mostly are very dark. There are some lighter ones. They have some speckled, mottled colors, but they're mostly pretty dark. And they have a super cute face that looks a little bit like a raccoon face, like a baby raccoon. But it's not a raccoon. And, yep. Oh, this one is arched. It's arched its back because it's probably angry or afraid. Oh, they're so... This one's standing up. Very cute. You gotta go. I definitely need to post a picture of a ferret on the social media. I added Blue Sky because everybody is adding Blue Sky. Okay, so... Their species name is Mustela putorius furo. Ooh. Are they furious? What's the furo part mean? They are usually silver gray or brownish or albino. I feel like albino is probably the least common coloration of a ferret, and so I feel like maybe that one should have gone last. That's just my opinion. Number 1B, this synonym is the black-footed ferret. So the rest of them is not black, but their feet is black. Number 2, an active and persistent searcher. So if you are just searching around for something, like I actually recently I misplaced my external DVD Blu-ray disc player that I need sometimes to read discs or burn discs. It's a rare occasion, but I had it over there in the box, and now it's gone. And so I have been ferreting around looking for it. I have been semi-persistent, and I can't find it, so I think I might just need to buy a new one. But if you're searching for something, you are very persistent about it. You are ferreting. Real quick, I gotta say, ferrets are super cute, and yes, they are domesticated. A lot of people have them as pets. In fact, I had a couple of friends who used to have some ferrets. I don't think they do anymore. And they're so skinny and... like not stretchy, but like they can get into very skinny spots, kind of like cats can, and they're just long and slender, and they're very cute and very funny, and they run around and they flop around and they play, and it would be fun to have some ferrets as pets. When we were little, my sister and I, we were all hanging out at the pet store, the neighborhood pet store, just hanging out like you do, and I think they had like a store ferret that just lived in the store and wandered around, and it bit my sister's heel. And I remember that being just a very traumatic moment for all of us, especially my sister. To this day, she still hates ferrets. No, I don't know if that's true. She probably has the opposite of an affinity towards ferrets. I have no idea how she feels about ferrets. But yeah, she got bit, and that sucked. Maybe she got a rabies shot, or I don't know. I don't know what we did at that point. I was much younger than her. Okay, ferrety is an adjective, and this word is from, oh yes, here we go, Vulgar Latin furitus, which literally means little thief. They are little, and I guess they like to steal things. From the Latin fur, F-U-R, which means thief. And so in their name, their species name, it was Mustela putorius furo, or furo. And so that part means thief. I guess the ferrets must like to steal things. If you own a ferret, if you have a ferret, if there's a ferret in your life, if you cohabitate with ferrets, please tell me about it. Email, Google Voice, any of those are fine. There's more at the word furtive. All right, ferret. Well, hey, guess what? We gotta go. Woo! Because now we got the second form of ferret, which is a verb from the 15th century. Is it only intransitive? Nope, there's a transitive. So, starting with intransitive, number one, to hunt with ferrets. So, if you're going ferreting, what are you hunting with ferrets? Ferrets are pretty small. So, either you have hundreds of ferrets to take down a giraffe, or you are hunting something very small. And I feel like, I mean, I'm not a fan of hunting in the first place, but what are you hunting? A mouse? Are you going hunting with ferrets to hunt mice? Number two, to search about. Ferrets must be known for searching. They're digging. They're persistently searching, looking for stuff that they can steal because they're little thieves with their tiny little hands. And they're like, oh, this looks very good. Oh, I'm going to steal this. Now we have transitive. 1A1, I mean, to hunt with ferrets. And here we go. We have an example of what is being hunted. It's rabbits. Oh, I do not like the idea of seeing ferrets hunting down rabbits. They are supposed to live in harmony together. This is sad. 1A2, to force out of hiding, and the synonym is flush. Maybe I'll put this in the show notes, a link for this. There was a story of scientists who had some like very skinny tubes and they needed to clean out the tubes. And I don't remember if they used a little dog, maybe there was a dachshund, or maybe some other story they used ferrets. They would like tie a string to them and then the ferrets would run down the tube. And I don't know, I feel like I have that memory in my head of something. I think somebody did it with their dog. But I feel like people are also doing it with ferrets. The flush out. So they're like, ferrets are like nature's pipe cleaners. How'd they get so long and skinny? So to force out of hiding, you know, what they're flushing out is rabbits. So the ferret's going to go maybe in the rabbit's home, in logs. I don't know where the rabbits live, but the ferrets are going to try and go flush out the rabbits. 1B, to find and bring to light by searching. And this is usually used with the word out, as in ferret out the answers. You're searching for the answers. You go talk to people, you do some stuff to find the answers. You go traveling. I don't know what you're doing to find the answers, but you find them and then you have ferreted out the answers. Number two, the synonyms are hairy and worry, but hairy, maybe it's pronounced Harry. It's spelled H-A-R-R-Y. Hairy and worry is also ferreting. Worrying, harrying, ferreting. I know worry. So do ferrets, are ferrets known to be worrisome? Probably not. Ferreter is a noun. Whoa! The third form of ferret is a noun from 1649. A narrow cotton, silk, or wool tape. It is called also ferreting. So it's not the action of ferreting. It's the physical thing that used to be called ferreting. It's a cotton, silk, or wool tape that is narrow. And is it named after the ferret animal? Let's see. No, maybe not. It's from Italian fioretti, which means floss or silk, from fioretto, diminutive of fiore, which means flower, from the Latin flor or floss, which maybe means flower. But there's more at the word blow. Maybe you're blowing the silk in the wind. I don't know. Interesting. It's a very skinny piece of tape, like literal sticky tape, or is this a different kind of tape that I don't know about? Ferret. Never heard of that one. Now, I have to check, though. Is this an eye? I think it's an eye. Fioretto. I think that looks like an eye. It's not Floretto. It's Fioretto. Okay. Next. Wow! We have the prefix fairy, F-E-R-R-I. And number one, it means iron. I already told you that, so you were one step ahead of everybody. There's an example. This is a silly example. Ferriferous? Is that how you pronounce that word? Yeah, it's coming up in this word. It's ferriferous. Ferriferous, that's how you say it. Okay, we'll talk about that soon. Number two, for the prefix ferry or ferre, it means ferric iron. That seems like a... That seems redundant, doesn't it? The example is ferricyanide, which is also coming up in this episode. Yes, okay. So, ferricyanide is something to do with cyanide plus ferric iron, which just seems like it just should just be iron. Wow! Next, we have ferriage. Ferriage. F-E-R-R-I-A-G-E. Noun from the 14th century. Number one, the fare paid for a ferry passage. So if you want to take a ferry across a body of water, you got to pay a fare, which also can be called a ferriage. Number two, the act or business of transporting by ferry. It's my business to transport by ferry. I'm in the business of ferriage. I've taken a couple. Well, no, we can wait to talk about ferry for a couple episodes. Let's see. Yeah, we don't have any etymology for that, so we're going to go, whoa, ferric, F-E-R-R-I-C. Ferric, adjective from 1799. Number one, of, relating to, or containing, iron. Was that in the original X-Men movie? I think it was the first one. Maybe it was the second one. Magneto... His security guard comes up and he's like, oh, I think you have an abundance of iron in your body. And then he waves his hands. So that person was very ferric because what's-her-face put in a bunch of iron in him. Metal iron. And her name is... Can't remember. I should know this. I can't think of it. Okay, so ferric, number two, being or containing iron, usually with a valence of three. Yep, a valence of three. I don't remember what that is. It's a chemistry thing. Wow! Now we have ferric ammonium citrate or citrate. Three words. Noun from circa 1924. A complex salt containing varying amounts of iron and used especially for making blueprints. Really? Making blueprints? Why? How are you using this to make blueprints? Is it the blue color? Let's put a link in the show notes for something about ferric ammonium citrate being used to make blueprints. Fascinating. Wow! Ferric chloride, two words, noun from 1869, a deliquescent dark salt, FeCl3, that readily hydrates to the yellow-orange form and that is used especially for etching in sewage treatment and as an astringent. Okay, a few very interesting uses for this. Ferric chloride. Well, first of all, it is deliquescent. It is a dark salt that is deliquescent. Oh, such a good mixture of words. FeCl3, that means it has the main molecule has one atom of iron and three atoms of chlorine. let's see, it readily hydrates. Yellow orange form is used. It's used in etching. There's lots of different types of etching, so I don't know what this one is exactly. I don't ever etch unless I'm etch a sketching. Hey, sewage treatment. How do they use it in sewage treatment? Cleaning the pipes, maybe. And then an astringent. Can't remember what an astringent is. Okay, moving on to ferric oxide. Two words, noun from 1851. The red or black oxide of iron, Fe2O3, found in nature as hematite and as rust, and also obtained synthetically and used especially as magnetic materials, as a pigment, and for polishing. Again, this iron thing can be used in a few different ways. Let's see. It's a hematite? Hematite. That's what it's called when it's found in nature. And it's in rust. You can also make it in the lab synthetically. And it's used in magnetic materials. How is it used in magnetic materials? The iron is probably magnetic, so that makes sense. It's used as a pigment, so maybe if it's probably got this like a yellow, orange, or red color, because the previous definition said yellow, orange, and this one it said it's in rust, and rust has that. Oh, actually, I'm wearing a kind of a rust-colored shirt today, or most of it's kind of rusty. I'm a little rusty today. And polishing. If you got to polish your silver, maybe, or your wood, I don't know what's being polished here, but this ferric oxide is used in polishing. Okay, whoa! Now we have ferrocyanide. One word. I don't know why they couldn't call it ferric cyanide. This was the example from the ferry prefix. This ferrocyanide is a noun from 1845. Number one, the trivalent anion, this is complicated. All right, well, that's what it is. It's a trivalent anion, or anion. I don't know how to say that. Probably anion. And the chemical structure is, boy, this is weird. It starts with Fe, which is iron, and then in parentheses, we have a C and an N, so that's probably one carbon and one nitrogen, and then the parentheses are closed, and then there's a subscript 6, so I guess there's 6 of those CNs, and then it looks like there is a superscript 3 with a dash, but it's not a negative 3. I don't really know what that dash means after the 3. And is the superscript 3 on the 6? Or is it on the CN? Or is that on the whole thing? That one's very complicated. Okay, well, that's number one for ferrocyanide. Number two is a compound containing the ferrocyanide anion. So the ferrocyanide is the trivalent anion. And it's also a compound that contains that anion, especially the red salt K3Fe, parentheses CN, and parentheses little 6, that is used in making blue pigments. Aha, so something that has iron can be used to make things that are like red and orange, and also in another form can be used to make things that are blue. And this is why it's used to make blueprints, because they are blue. Why are blueprints blue? What is the point of that? I never learned that one. Okay, that's ferrocyanide. Now we got to go on to, here's that fun word, ferriferous. Ferriferous. I really want to say ferriferous. That's a much more fun way to say this word. But it's ferriferous. Ferriferous. Adjective from 1811. Containing or yielding iron. It contains iron. It produces iron, possibly. So it's ferriferous. Ferriferous, ferriferous. Next, Wow. Ferromagnetic. This is an adjective from 1951 of or relating to a substance as ferrite, characterized by magnetization, in which two types of ions of unequal magnetic moment are polarized in opposite directions. It is of or relating to a substance characterized by magnetization, which two types of ions are of unequal magnetic moment. What is a magnetic moment? That's a thinker. They were magnetized oppositely at the same moment? I'm not really sure about that. But basically, it has to do with magnets in a very specific way. I mean, most magnets, I think, are polarized in opposite directions. Isn't that kind of what a magnet is? It's got the two, the north and the south. I don't know. Ferromagnet is a noun. Ferromagnetically is an adverb. Ferromagnetically. And ferromagnetism, that is a noun. So I guess this is just a specific type of magnet. I guess you can still make magnets out of other metals. They don't have to be iron. But I would have thought that maybe are all magnets ferromagnetic? Maybe not. I'm probably wrong. Wow! Now we have my sound effect, Ferris wheel. Two words, Ferris has a capital F. Noun from 1893, which was the Columbian Exposition, the World's Fair in Chicago, the Columbian Exposition, also called the White City, and it was invented for that occasion. What is it? What is a Ferris wheel? Do you know? Yes, you probably know, but let's tell you. It is an amusement device. An amusement. That's a great phrase right there. An amusement device consisting of a large, upright, power-driven wheel carrying seats that remain horizontal around its rim. I'm sure at the time this was an engineering marvel. By who? Who engineered this? G.W.G. Ferris. They were an American engineer. Oh my gosh, they died in 1896, just 3 years after they made this thing. I think I had heard that. They didn't really get to see their Ferris wheel flourish, but they got to see it at least at the Columbian Exposition. I believe that original Ferris wheel, which was in Chicago, my city, my home city, it was there for quite a while. Did it move at some point? And if I remember correctly, the things that held the people were like the size of a bus or something. They were huge. They have since replaced that Ferris wheel. I think there's a new Ferris wheel there, which is smaller. Let's put a link in the show notes for the original Ferris wheel and the Columbian Exposition. I probably know a little bit or have a little bit more of a connection to the Columbian Exposition than the average person because I actually had family who went to it. They were living in Chicago when this thing happened in the 1890s. And so we have these, God, I don't even know where they are, but we have these souvenirs that they got from it, which I think are very, very cool. In fact, I have a few, I think, are they 50 cent pieces? Maybe I thought they were quarters, but I think they're 50 cent pieces that have the Columbian Exposition stamp on one side, and then I think Columbus's face on the other side. I'm not the biggest fan of Columbus, but hey, whatever. It was called the Columbian Exposition because it was the 400th anniversary of when he came over to this country and murdered lots of people. Yes, that is something that we should celebrate. Okay, anything else about Ferris wheel? GWG. Oh, I'm so curious to find out what his name is. Well, we have now one more word for this episode, which is ferrite, which we saw a couple definitions ago. The ferromagnetic word is relating to a substance like ferrite. So this is related to ferromagnetic, I think. It is a noun from 1851. Number one, any of several magnetic substances that consist essentially of ferric oxide combined with the oxides of one or more other metals, as manganese, nickel, or zinc. There's more information. They also have high magnetic permeability and high electrical relativity, and are used especially in electronic devices. Like what? I'm not sure. Lots of things, probably. Number two, a solid solution in which alpha iron is the solvent. Don't understand what that means. Ferritic is an adjective. Well, now, children, little children who are checking out this show, it is now time for the word of the episode. If you are an adult listening to this, I think you should pass this podcast and YouTube show along to the children in your lives, because maybe they will enjoy it. Or maybe the old people. Who will enjoy it more, the young or the old? Okay, today we had ferocity, ferrous, ferredoxin, ferret, ferry, ferriage, ferric ammonium citrate or citrate, ferric chloride, ferric oxide, ferriferous, ferromagnetic, ferris wheel, and ferrite. I'm just going to pick ferris wheel as the word of the episode. There are lots of ferris wheels in the world. Some of them are small and some of them are big. The first one was in Chicago. Ferris wheel goes wee, wee, wee. I think ferris wheels have been used in a lot of movies. Let's see, there was the recent Ghostbusters movie. There were some people who got stuck up on the top of the ferris wheel. I believe I remember recently a Bob's Burgers episode. They got a ferris wheel down at that place at the wharf. Lots and lots of ferris wheels in movies and TV shows, because I don't know, there's just something about them that we like to put in shows and stuff. You get to have nice views up high like that. It's very slow and boring, but the fact that you get to go up high is very cool. London has the London Eye, which you're in, the things that you're in are like these ovally pods. And those are cool. And then if it's right on the river and there's all these cool buildings there, so when you're up high, you get to see all of it, and it's very cool and very slow. They should make Ferris wheels that go fast, don't you think? Okay, that's it for the words part. And now I'm going to tell you about the movie part of this show. Let's see. Where did we leave off? Terrifier 3. Now we're going to talk about It's What's Inside. Oh, okay. I think I remember liking this. I do think I need to look it up on the IMDb so I can see some pictures. Stand by. I'm back. It's What's Inside. What is this? Okay, it's starting. Oh, yes. This is a fun movie. This is a very adult you know, I think there's like drug use and language and stuff. And I think it's people in their 20s or 30s and they're in a big house. And it's, I don't know if I could call it horror. Is it sort of thrillery, comedy? What do they call it? Dark comedy, comedy, mystery, sci-fi, thriller. Oh, this is a fun movie. You got to watch this one. It's, I'm just going to leave it at that. It's What's Inside. Worth a watch. Okay, that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for checking out this show. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.